Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the Hail Yes podcast. I am your host, Haley Gamba. How is everyone doing today? I want to provide a quick disclaimer before we get into today's talking points. We are going to be discussing pretty heavy topics around domestic violence and domestic abuse and just anything that has to do with like misogyny and the power imbalance in female and male dynamics. That being said, I really am excited to discuss it because I have a lot to say based off of my own life experience, based off of the things that I've seen, based off of the things that I've read, based off of statistics alone. And I'm just really excited to discuss it because this particular conversation is very important to me, especially based off of my own experiences. If you're someone who is easily triggered by that, or it feels uncomfy for you to listen to these talking points, please just come back for the next episode. I would not mind it at all. But for those who want to hear my thoughts, keep on listening. Before I get into today's talking points, which we are going to be discussing the Cassie and Diddy trial and the whole thing that's going on with Halle Bailey and DDG, I want to provide my own little life update because I've had a lot going on. And I'm the kind of person who likes to wait until certain things are said and done and completed before discussing them. And this particular story time is one of those things. So I'm excited to share it, even though it's not necessarily the most favorable, but it's definitely a lesson and I want to share it with those who want to know. So this is for all of my ladies and gents who are goody two shoes and have never been in trouble with the law, who have never gotten in trouble in any way, who've never stepped into a courtroom, who've never like really been yelled at as an adult in a way that would like compromise anything in your life. This particular story time is going to resonate with you because I was flabbergasted. So a little background, and this is a little bit of tea, so hello, I'm sharing very personal insights in my own life, but I find this story to be very ironic, to be honest with you. I am from New Jersey. I am a New Jersey driver. I'm going to put that out there now. If you know anything about Jersey drivers, then I don't really have to make this clear, but if you don't, just know that we are pretty much New York drivers, but in the suburbs. We drive fast. It's just how we are. And I'm not saying it's a good or bad thing. It's just, it is what it is. Now, I've been driving since I was 17. I am 27, which means I've been driving 10 years. I have never in my life gotten a speeding ticket. I've never really gotten in trouble. I've been pulled over a few times, but for like little things. And I have been pulled over for speeding in the past, but I never got a ticket for it. That was just my luck, right? I am not invincible. And I think I learned that in this particular experience. And I'm actually happy I went through this because it taught me a lot. I was asked out on a date, and this was like my first date that I was going on in a while. It was something that I was kind of doing begrudgingly because I know who this person is. But nonetheless, I went because I wanted to just go. And you guys know that I like casually date here and there, but it actually really was a while. Like I want to say it was maybe been 2 months or like 3 months since I've been out with someone. So whatever, it doesn't matter. I went on a date with this guy and he asked me to go to a place that was like closer to where he was. And so that was about 25 to 30 minutes from me, which I don't mind at all because the town in which we had the date in, I love. I frequent often and it doesn't bother me at all. Like it's somewhere where I just really enjoy the restaurants. I enjoy the ambiance. It's really fun for me. And I drive up and down the highways of New Jersey all the time. Not only am I driving back and forth, you know, from one location to another, but I also drive to Philly. I drive to my parents' house. Everywhere where I enjoy is far, even going to Manhattan. Like it's always like a 35 minute, a 45 minute, an hour. Like I don't mind driving. It's fun for me. I'm a kind of person where I drive up and down the highways. I don't think at all. And I usually know where all of the police officers are positioned because you just know your own highways. You know your own roads. So he asked me on a date. I went. The irony of this situation is that this particular person is in law enforcement. He is a police officer, and he's a police officer in the town that we had the date in. I'm gonna explain why this is an important detail to the story. We ate dinner, we had drinks, we hung out, and then because me and this person have hung out before, we hung out a little bit after the date as well and just, you know, caught up or whatever. So from the time that we went on a date to the time that I was back in my car driving home, it was about like a 5-hour difference or like a 4 to 5 hour difference. I honestly really didn't want to drive home, but I don't believe in like spending the night or anything like that. It's just not necessary, especially on a weekday. And it was like midweek. That being said, I got in my car and I drove home and it was like 11:30, almost midnight. So I'm driving home. It's like 20 miles back home. It's dark out. There's nobody on the road. I'm living my life, bliss and music. And again, like I said, let me preface this. I am a very fast driver. Well, it did not work in my favor because all of the places where I know the police are hanging out, the one that pulled me over was in the cut. He was in the shoulder facing the road. So like imagine the shoulder, like you're driving, you know, straight and you look at the shoulder, which is on your right, and a car is facing the road, facing you from the shoulder. So he essentially backed into the shoulder and had his car kind of on a diagonal with all of his lights out. And I pass him. Immediately, I knew, fuck, I'm going way too fast. He pulls me over immediately. Now, me being the anxiety-ridden woman that I am, I'm panicking. One, I have never been pulled over late at night. I've actually never been pulled over at night at all. Anytime that I've ever been pulled over was like in the daytime, in the morning, in the afternoon. I've been pulled over a few times, like on my way to the gym. I normally can talk my way out of it. And I also never get pulled over by state police. I think I got pulled over by state police once and it was actually for speeding and he let me off for it. He was like, "Where are you going?" I'm like, "I'm sorry, I'm late to my workout class." And he's like, "Just go." And he let me go. But that was a while ago. I am very much aware that state police are a little bit more assertive. They're a little bit rougher around the edges. And the only reason why I know this is because my dad is a psycho. He has a lot of sports cars and he drives up and down the highways and, you know, whatever. And he has gotten speeding tickets in the past, like driving his really nice Porsches and things like that, because he'll like go 100 smooth on the road. So I'm not like totally obtuse to how things work. It's just that it has never happened to me. So I get pulled over. I'm super anxiety ridden because, not gonna lie, me and Mr. Man that I was like on a date with, we were like making out. So like I looked a mess. It was late. I was tired and I was nervous. So I rolled down my window and the cop was like already yelling at me. So I'm like, "Oh my God, what do I do?" Like I just have never experienced that before. And he's like, "You were going so fast. You know, have you been drinking tonight?" Da-da-da. And like, because I'm such an honest person and I'm super accountable, I'm like, "Yes, I had a drink with dinner. It was many hours ago, blah, blah, blah." Like I just wanted to be honest because I knew I was not drunk. I knew that that was not like an issue or a point of contention as to the reason why I was driving fast. It's just because I'm a Jersey girl who drives a Range Rover that literally feels like it's going 25 miles an hour all the time because it's like a boat and it's so insulated. There's like no sound that it's like the most smooth and like quiet drive. So you sometimes don't realize that you're creeping up on the speed limit at all. But I'm not making excuses. I'm just telling you what's going on here. So he was like, "All right, well, do you have a record, blah, blah, blah?" And I'm like, "No, I do not." He's like, "All right, well, I'm going to go run your shit, blah, blah, blah." I'm panicking. I have never had like a cop speak to me like that. I've never not been able to like talk my way out of something. Not that I was even trying to. I was just kind of like no-siring him, yes-siring him to death and whatever. So I call the guy that I was on a date with and like I was so annoyed because I'm thinking, I have never been pulled over for something like this. I've never been pulled over in this way. And what is the fucking chances that I'm getting pulled over by a state cop after I just left a date with a town cop? So I called my date. And by the way, I was so happy. And this is how you guys know the bar is in fucking hell. Because I was so happy that he answered. Like he answered on the first ring. I was like, "Damn, okay, reliable." And I'm freaking out because it's me. Like I lose my shit when things like this happen. And I'm like, "Oh my God, I got pulled over." He, you know, asked me if I was drinking. And he's like, "Haley, you're fine. Put me on speaker. I will speak to him, blah, blah, blah. It's gonna be okay. You're fine. Do you need me to pick you up? Blah, blah." I'm like, "No, he hasn't been back yet." Whatever. So the cop comes back. He's like, "Who's on the phone?" I'm like, sorry, my boyfriend, I just said that because I wanted to, like, you know, not make it awkward. And I was like, my boyfriend's on the phone, sorry, he's a blah, 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 blah. I didn't want to say the town, but he's a blah, 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 blah cop. And I was just, you know, speaking to him to ask him, like, what to do. He's like, oh. And, like, I could notice that the state cop, like, let down his guard immediately. And he was like, oh, you should have told me. And I'm like, what? Because I've never experienced this before. I've never been on a date with a police officer. I'm honestly against dating police officers, to be honest with you, but that's a conversation for another day. Long story short, he was like, I need to meet my quota. I printed you out 2 tickets, but, you know, you can call the prosecutor's office tomorrow and plead not guilty and make a deal with them, and they should be able to get rid of one of the tickets for you. Like, he was giving me all this guidance, and then, you know, him and, like, the guy that I was on a date with were kind of, like, speaking back and forth a little bit, not really, but, like, I don't know. I was, like, so disheveled and anxious, and I was just so happy that I was able to, like, get out of this situation, because at the time I'm thinking I'm going to get arrested. Like, the way he was acting, I don't know. Like, to me, I don't know how things work. Like, I've never experienced this before. He gives me 2 tickets. I call the prosecutor's office the next day. I tell them exactly what he told me to say. And they literally laughed at me. They're like, that's not how that works. You're going to have to plead guilty or not guilty, and you'll have a court date. So, like, I'm like, okay. So, like, not this state cop giving me, like, very bad directions into what to do. Whatever. I have to do things like everyone else. And I am not, you know, the exception to the rule here. So I call the town in which I got pulled over in, pled not guilty, and got a court date. So I say all this to say that I just had court this week. That's why I'm bringing up this story, because I didn't want to tell you guys about it until after court, because I don't like, you know, bad spirits and bad juju in the air when I have my life on the line here. Now, for all of those who have never gotten in trouble with the law and don't know anything about stuff like this, I want you guys to know that if you go 25 over or like 30 over, you are at risk of loss of license. I had no idea. Now, for all of my New Jersey drivers, y'all know that you're going over 25, 30 miles an hour up and down the Garden State Parkway or up 287 every day. Stop lying. You know you're doing it because it's common. I mean, the speed limit 65, you'll creep up to 75, 80, whatever. And it's just, that's what's going to happen. I just was not super aware that first offense, speeding ticket, that you could lose your license. I had no idea. Like, maybe, you know, this was a blessing in disguise that this happened so that I can be more mindful, which, to be honest, since it's happened, I have been driving a little bit more carefully. But in the meantime, while I was waiting for court, the guy that I went on a date with, which, by the way, we are not seeing each other anymore. We're just friends. Like, at the end of the day, like, he's somebody that I knew prior to the date. He's not, like, a stranger. But he really helped me out because he gave me some legal advice. And then on top of it, gave me, like, a family member PBA card. So now having that card, which I'm going to try to swindle him into getting me a gold card. Don't know if he'll do it, but I'm hoping that maybe he will. Having those types of cards are good when you get pulled over by police because they know that there's somebody who is police in your family or in your friend circle that is vouching for you and vouching for your safety and your security. So he gave me, like, you know, a signed family member PBA card, which I thought was really sweet, and gave me some advice. But I had court on Tuesday, and I was praying, guys. Like, I was praying leading up to my court date that I was going to have a male prosecutor. The reason why, and this is the sad truth and reality of life, is that I find that women in powerful positions, like law enforcement positions or even, like, in corporate positions, they tend to be very misogynistic, or, like, they pander to misogyny, and they don't give women grace the way that you think that they should. So, like, for instance, if you're getting pulled over by a male cop, you're going to have a little bit more of a sigh of relief as a woman, especially if you're beautiful, that you're going to get out of the ticket, rather than if you were to get pulled over by a female cop. I don't know a single person who's a woman who has been pulled over by a female cop and did not get a ticket. My mom actually got pulled over in my town leaving my house. She was doing 10 over and got a speeding ticket by a woman cop. My mom was flabbergasted. She could not believe it. And it's the unfortunate reality. I'm not really sure, like, why women are so hard on each other, considering they love to profess this louder than life, you know, girl's girl mentality. But a lot of them are nothing of the sort. It's just not true. So I say all this to say that the person that really saves you in these instances is your prosecutor. Because if you plead not guilty, which for all those listening who've never gotten a speeding ticket, and you might get one in the future, always plead not guilty. You want to be the person that says, okay, I didn't do this, or this is not what it seems, and try to get a deal cut. Because if you plead guilty, you're pleading guilty to all of the charges, which I had two tickets printed out. It was careless driving and speeding. You're going to pretty much pay for that in your insurance, and it's going to be points on your license, and you can't really fix it once you plead guilty. So if you plead not guilty, you can work out a deal. So I did that, and I was praying the night before that I was going to get a male prosecutor. And lo and behold, I did. I also was early for court, and I dressed really nice. I looked beautiful that day, and I just went in with grace, with accountability, and with just trying my best to advocate for myself. So because I was early for court, I was the first person to see the prosecutor. There was like 40 people in court that day that all pled not guilty. And because I was on time and early, I was the first person that got to speak with him. Now, I don't know how this works. We're like, let's just say the prosecutor is starting to get agitated the more people he speaks to. If you're number 40, you might not get the same deal that the first person got. So be early to court as well. Show that you are punctual and on time and that you care about the, you know, severity of this situation.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
So I got to his office and he's like, all right, let me look at your record, make sure everything's okay. And he's like, okay, you have a clean record. And I see you were allegedly doing this number. What I'm going to do is I'm going to get rid of your careless driving ticket. I'm going to bump your speeding ticket down from 5 points to 2 points. And what you can do is you can take a defensive driving course and it will completely get rid of the points off of your record. So you will pretty much have a clean record all over again if you do all of these things. I could not have prayed for a better outcome. I was so grateful. I was so happy. And he was just so understanding and respectful and kind and just totally like a sweet guy. So once that all happens, you get like a little slip, you hand it to the cop that's working in the court, and then the judge will like call you up, read your situation, and then dismiss you. So the judge was a female judge, and I got called up. And when I tell you guys, like, she was not having it with me, like, she was so rude and nasty. And this again just plays into my own just premonitions and thoughts about how women are in certain situations. And I already knew that she was going to be like this. And she was like, kind of like, I don't want to say she was like taunting me, but she was kind of like speaking to me like in a way that was kind of degrading and just like talking at me. And because I am taking full accountability and responsibility for what I did, I just yes ma'amed her to death and left, because at the end of the day, I didn't care that she was yelling at me. I just cared that I didn't have any more points on my record and I was able to leave pretty much scot-free. And I just thought it was interesting, like, how little grace she had given me when the people that were called up before me, there were like a lot of men in the courtroom. I am shocked at the outfits that some people show up to court in. This is a place where you are representing yourself and showing that you are a responsible adult. So showing up to court in sweatpants, biker shorts, pajamas, unacceptable. And I just can't believe like how some people were dressed at court. It was just flabbergasting. Like, it was just, I could not believe it. I showed up, you know, dressed in a cute skirt and a beautiful top, heels. I really showed up for myself. And she was like not having it with me, which I thought was just so funny, because I'm thinking, here are all these people who have domestic cases. Like, the person that was in front of me that pled guilty or whatever, they had like five different offenses. There was like a domestic a case, and she's reading it so monotone, so whatever. And a few other people that had way major situations than me, and I get called up and I had a fucking speeding ticket, and she's like yelling at me, and I'm just thinking to myself like, wow, like, this is exactly what people mean when they say that like women are just not the girls that they profess that they are. And not that I needed her to like cut me some slack or give me a break, but like, for you to be so even keel and normal about like men essentially putting their hands on women or getting in trouble doing certain things, like, one of the guys in front of me, like, he was driving with fake plates, a stolen vehicle, all that. She gave him nothing. Me, speeding, you better slow down, Messi. And next time, if you're in my courtroom, I'm taking your license. I don't care what the prosecutor says. I'm like, oh my God, she's a nightmare. So anyways, a win is a win. I walked away very happy with the outcome. My parents were able to finally let out a nice sigh of relief because even though I am 27, my parents literally act like I still live under their roof and that I am a child. They were so angry with me when I got this ticket. And listen, it was going to catch up to me at some point. I can't just do whatever I want, drive however I want, and be however I want and not get in trouble. So you're going to eventually have to face some of the things that you do. But I'm really grateful for the outcome and I am just happy that I can have a clean record again. So sorry for that very long story time, but I kind of want to discuss today misogyny and consent and all of the things that I think are really being highlighted right now in the media, especially with the Cassie and Diddy trial and Halle and DDG. I want to put this out there for everybody listening so that you guys know where I stand on most things. I am a woman who supports women, okay? I don't do the, well, she shouldn't have stayed or she should have did this, she should have did that. We're not doing that today, okay? I'm not that kind of woman, okay? Let's just be so fucking for real. If you have faced any type of abuse or you've been in the grips of somebody who is an unsafe or unfit person, it does not matter how independent you are, how outspoken you are, how soft or masculine or whatever you are, if you are in the company of someone like that, you are at risk for being a victim to their abuse and violence. Now, I will talk later in today's episode about how to prevent yourself from being in situations like that, considering there are actual ways that you can protect yourself and have your head on a swivel as a woman. I first want to just discuss how despicable and deplorable the actions of this man was with this woman. Now, I have heard so many explicit details about the trial, and I commend Cassie for being so open and being so vulnerable. And I also want to mention this, she had to testify. So for everyone that's like, she got money and now she's talking all this shit, she was obligated by the government to speak, okay? She was subpoenaed, which means that she essentially does not have a choice in the matter. This is it's a federal case, which means that she's not taking him to court. She is obligated by the courts to speak and to be honest and to say her experiences because they are trying to catch him in a way larger situation that has to do with like trafficking and RICO and all of this. So I just want to put that out there for everyone that's like, how could she throw him under the bus like this? I really try to not read the negative comments about women who speak out against violence because it's just so disgusting how men and also women will always make excuses for the abuser. And I don't get it and I never fucking will. I will never understand how you guys could always try to find a way to make it the victim's fault. The person who is doing the thing that is wrong should be accountable. And that just shows me the lack of accountability that you have in your own life. Like you're the type of person who like cheats on a person and then blames them for not being good enough for you to not cheat on them. That is someone who lacks accountability. So therefore, anybody who is constantly, you know, victim blaming and siding with the abuser, I already know how you live in your own life. And I wish you nothing but the things that you say everyone should just be okay with. Like if you think it's normal, then I hope that situation for you. Have a nice day. The explicit details of what this poor woman went through, I need you guys to understand, when she met this person, she was, I wanna say in her early 20s, they developed some sort of relationship, I believe when she was 22. He was in his 40s. How can a woman who is in her early 20s, 22 to be exact, make good decisions when we all know that your frontal lobe does not fully develop until you're 25. The truth of the matter is, for a lot of women in their early 20s that experience these things, it's really about who is around you during this time and who is providing safety in your life. Because if you are a woman who does not have a family that backs you up and doesn't have people who are looking out for you, It's really easy to get unraveled in situations with liars, manipulators, narcissists, and abusers because they prey on people who do not have a healthy support system. They are counting on it because they know that if they give you enough love and enough attention and enough validation, that they can strip you of your own identity and make you okay with the behaviors that they will then display later on in the relationship that are abusive and are violent because they know that they are the only people that you have. I don't really know Cassie's situation, but if I were to take a guess, I would assume that she does not have or did not have at the time a healthy support system of good parents, of siblings or whatever, aunts, uncles, whatever, that were going to protect her from people like this, from predators like this. This is a predatory situation. Any person who is wiser, older, smarter, you know, more street smart, more book smart, whatever, who is purposefully preying on someone who they know just got introduced to adulthood, just came into their body, barely touched what it feels like to make their own decisions, and to prey on someone like that is predatory. Even if the relationship is for the most part decent, I still don't agree with the power imbalance. I think that that is an abuse of power. When you know that this person is not in their own frame of mind ready to make decisions that have to do with their body, that have to do with their consent, that have to do with their future, that have to do with their money, whatever. Most people in their early 20s don't even know their left foot from their right foot, okay? So like, let's stop calling it, oh, she was an adult. I remember being 22. I was not the woman I am today. And I'm probably not the woman that I'm going to be when I'm 34. Because as you get older, you get wiser. You get more discerning. And you experience more things. So if Cassie had a very sheltered life or, you know, maybe just didn't experience much, Diddy being her first person that she was, you know, in contact with, that prevents you from really having the knowledge and the guidance that allows you to make sound decisions around healthy relationships. Now, I need all of my women that are listening who are on the younger side, who maybe are romanticizing being with an older gentleman. I get it. I understand the appeal, right? Because especially if you consider yourself to be more mature or more mature than your peers, you feel like, okay, I'm light years ahead of people my own age. The guys my own age are so gross. They don't have, you know, good conversation. They don't know how to take care of me. And being with an older gentleman can be more appealing because it opens the door for more opportunities, better conversation, whatever. And I get the appeal, but I really want you guys to challenge why a person of that age would want to be with someone who barely entered college, who barely knows what it's like to live life. And I get it, you know, it has a lot to do with the fact that what women seek in men, men do not seek in women. Men are looking for someone that looks good or whatever, where women are looking for a little bit more than that. Really consider what you're getting involved in prior. Now, this is not me saying that Cassie's at fault because she is not. And it's very clear that she has lived with so much shame and resentment for past versions of herself, because I think that she was telling herself for a long time that a lot of these things that she was doing was out of love. Blaming this woman for engaging in certain sexual acts and whatever and whatnot, you must not know what it feels like to be in the grips of a person who is controlling every aspect of your life and of your mind. If you are not someone who is in your right frame of mind yet, your frontal lobe has not fully developed, you don't know what it feels like to be autonomous in any way, why wouldn't you just go with the flow of an adult, of a person who has lived more life than you? Where women tend to fall short is they find older men to be admirable because they're wiser about certain things. So they say, oh, well, since he knows so much, he can just help me know so much. But that's not how it works. That's how they take advantage. They take advantage of what you don't know and what you allow. So be very, very, very careful. I think what is so funny to me about the media and the commentary surrounding this topic is, well, why did she stay with him for so long? Why did she allow this to happen for so long? When here we have Halle Bailey and DDG and the whole situation that she did. And I feel like she did everything for the most part pretty well. She filed the suit, wasn't making a big stink about it, whatever. She did leave. She did do what she needed to do. And she did, you know, go to the law, and people are blaming her and shaming her for that as well. So which is it? Do you want people to stay in the abuse and accept it? Or do you want people to, you know, challenge the abuse and do the right thing, like walk away and better themselves? Because it seems like either or is not enough for anybody. And it's so difficult for so many victims, or I should say survivors, to come forward because they're always shamed. And I had just seen in the media the other day that one of Jeffrey Epstein's survivors ended up committing suicide. And I just thought to myself, like, how sad it must be for her family that she had gone through this terrible thing, had overcome it, and then her story was kind of shared, and people were always trying to find a way to blame the women for their part, for their acceptance of this, and for the things that they've done. Really, they should have just been supported. They should have just been helped and guided in a better direction so that they can make better and sound decisions. I say all of this to say, life is not what you think it is. And something that I've even learned in many dynamics that I've had, and I don't always really talk about certain situations that I've been in because I don't think that everything needs to always be discussed, but let's just make this as vague as possible with you guys also knowing where I stand with this. I have been offered a lot of things from people that were in positions of power in a dating dynamic that I declined the offer because it would have stripped me of my independence and autonomy. A lot of the times when you were offered things, it's in exchange for something. And that's just how it goes, okay? That's life. So if a man is saying, I'll take care of you, I'll do this for you, I'll do that, it's not for nothing. It's always in exchange for something. And I have dated people who have offered me things that would have taken my voice, my power, how I like to live, my autonomy, my sovereignty. And it was just not enticing to me. And I think a huge reason why I was always struggling in these dynamics with people was because when I was younger and I did go through my sexual abuse, I didn't even realize it at the time because it was in such early stages of my life where I was taken and stripped of my innocence. I think I made a promise and a pact with myself that I will never let somebody just do something to me again without putting up a fight, without speaking up for myself, without being someone who does and advocates for myself. The irony of me being met with different experiences in my dating life that weren't necessarily abusive, but they could have been, or they would have just taken something from me that I refused to give up. Now, the reason I bring all of this up is because I really want to provide some insight on how to prevent yourself from entering dynamics like this. I do not think that all abuse is avoidable, but I do think a lot of it is. And there are things to look for. As someone who is an abuse survivor and who has learned things the hard way many times, I can confidently say that looking for someone else to rescue you will always lead you down a road of actually feeling stripped of your autonomy, being put in unsafe conditions. The people who want to save others so desperately tend to do it from a control tactic. It's always like this, you know, you'll see it in a movie. A guy who's like older and powerful and all this, and he sees this broken woman that comes from a broken home and she has like no friends and she's sad all the time and he just loves her and he just wants to save her from herself and from her horrible life. And it sounds beautiful in theory, but like in reality, it's a control tactic. It's a power imbalance. It's not good. And this is coming from a woman who, my favorite movie is Pretty Woman, but I have to acknowledge that there are some discrepancies in that movie that I don't necessarily love. Like the fact that he had such a difficult time committing to women that were his age or on his level of intelligence, and that this woman that was a prostitute essentially was like the love of his life and she really had nothing to offer him. But of course, you know, I love that movie. I'm not going to lie to you guys, but I just find it fascinating, especially the older and wiser that I get, how that dynamic no longer is romantic to me. It's just not. They don't talk about these particular dynamics. like the Diddy and Cassie. Because people say, oh, well, you know, don't date down. You know, because they say that Halle Bailey dated down being with DDG. Or like Kiki Palmer dated down being with her baby father. They don't date down. That's how this all happened. Cassie dated up and it still happened. So what's the common denominator? The common denominator is that don't date abusive people, period. Whether it's dating up or dating down, if somebody feels this incessant need to control your life and strip you of your autonomy and independence, it's not a good fit. There are ways to look for this, okay? One of them being, in the early stages of dating, finding out about their past situations. How do they speak about them? You really have to pay attention. How did they speak about their past relationship or encounters with other women? You'll hear it in a lot of these males' tones when they are talking about women and they're experiencing, oh, well, you know, she did me so wrong. Like, I went on a date with this guy and he had just gotten out of a relationship and he did not tell me that prior to the date, because had he have told me that, I wouldn't have taken the date. And I could tell he was trying to convince me how little he cared about this girl. Because once I asked him, hey, when was the last time that you were in a relationship? He goes, a month ago. I almost grabbed my purse and got up from the table, but I gave him a second. I said, oh, really? Oh, I'm not interested in pursuing this further then. And he was like so taken aback. He was like, what? Like he was trying to save it. And he was like, well, you know, she was just trying to use me for my money and da da da. And I'm thinking to myself, because like, yeah, he clearly like had his shit together. Like he seemed to be somewhat successful, but like he was not giving, you know, Miss the big. Like, no, he wasn't. He was doing okay. But he's like, she was trying to use me for money, ask me for money, this, that, and the third. And I just didn't like it. So like I broke up with her. And again, like I just found it to be such a very weird way of trying to shit on another woman. And I just didn't like it. Like I just thought it was, there was something very off-putting about it. In him and I's dynamic prior to our date, he was doing a lot for me. Like he was, you know, picking most expensive restaurant, telling me to get everything on the menu, blah, blah, blah. So he actually uses his money as a tactic to land women. So why are you mad that somebody is using you for the very thing that you are presenting? I find that to be very odd. So again, listen to how they speak about their past situations, about women in general. And what we know about Diddy as a whole is that there seems to be a theme amongst the women that he's dated of there being a power imbalance slash some sort of abuse. And where women fall short is they date a guy who has this record, who has this reputation, thinking, well, he loves me. I'm more his type. He has changed. Thinking that they are the exception to the rule. The truth is, Cassie, Kiki Palmer, Halle Bailey, they were not the exception to the rule. Once an abuser, always an abuser. And I don't fault these victims for it because I think a lot of women are not guided in the right direction when it pertains to making good dating decisions. So they don't know what they don't know. And I'm saying this to people who don't know and are genuinely just so unsure of how to really spot these things. If you notice that someone has anger issues, has abusive tendencies, has controlling tendencies, can be manipulative, is trying to rush a relationship with you, trying to lock you down so, you know, intentively, so early on, these are signs of someone who is trying to control you. To prevent yourself from getting in these situations is understanding that you have to be your biggest advocate. You have to know when to say no. You have to not take the bait. A lot of men in the early stages of dating will teeter certain things in front of you to see, what am I able to get away with? So they might start with, you know, oh, can I like maybe give you a golden shower, but like only in the shower? You know, I just want to pee on you only in the shower. And then you're thinking, well, I mean, I really like this guy. You know, we've hooked up a few times. If that's what he likes, whatever. And then it leads down a road where, you know, it's similar to Cassie's situation where him and another man are urinating in her mouth. How degrading. So when somebody does something weird to you in the early stages, and by early stages, I can mean from like 0 to 1 year. You never know. It could happen. Sometimes people take a little bit more time to show you who they really are. But once they show you, believe them. And they're trying to see what they can get away with. So even like I talked to a guy once who was telling me a story about how, you know, he was dealing with this girl and she was so fucking nuts and she called the police on him and yada, yada, yada. I never spoke to him again. You know, he was trying to make it seem like she was this crazy nutcase of a woman and filed charges against him. And he thought that I was going to be one of those women that's like, damn, she's something else for that. I would never do that to you. Like, trying to be like the pick-me's of all pick-me's and, you know, thinking that you're the exception to the rule to people's violence and to people's disgusting behavior. You are not. If this person is this way, they do not care who they're doing it to. They're going to do it to whoever they are with.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is time for us as women to start making smarter decisions when it pertains to the partners that we choose for ourselves and the people that we align ourselves with. It's already bad enough waking up in this world every day and having to face society, knowing how unsafe it is in a whole. It really is. It's completely unsafe. You can walk down the street in New York City and get slashed. You can, you know, come in contact with a serial killer and he'll chop you up. Whatever. Okay. It's kind of rare, but I'm just saying it could happen. But really where most of these situations take place is with people that you trust, people that you love, people that you thought were going to be your safe haven. And it's really important that we have our head on a swivel as women and stop aligning with people who are bad. Stop thinking that we're the exception to the rule. Start providing ourselves with the self-governing and self-sovereignty behaviors that we don't need anybody to protect us. We can protect ourselves. And it's not that we are forcing this masculine aura on ourselves. No, there are going to be people that you're going to meet along the way. Of course, it's going to be a limited amount of people, but there are going to be people that you're going to meet, your future husband, or even just your dad or your brother, if you're lucky, that are going to provide you with a level of protection that, you know, you wouldn't get with a Joe Schmo down the street. You can't always count on protection from others. So you need to protect yourself. Look for the signs. Look for the red flags. Be someone who challenges people's nasty behavior. Don't just fall for anything. Don't be that person. Have standards, boundaries, morals. Learn to stand alone. Learn to be okay with being alone. Learn that walking away is better than staying in bad things. Support people who do not have the same willpower that you do. Not everybody has been given the guidance in life to make their own decisions, to be autonomous, to advocate for themselves. And I know that, you know, it's not necessarily your responsibility to care or to fix that for them. It's nice to provide people with grace and with understanding and acceptance so that they can do better. Because when you know better, you can do better. And clearly this woman who's been going through all of this, Cassie I'm speaking of in particular, has done better, chosen a partner for herself that seems to really love her and support her and is there for all of these things. And I can imagine how horrible it is for him to listen to this insane story and everything. And I can imagine it's very confusing to hear that your wife was once in a relationship that looked somewhat consensual, but it wasn't. It was a power imbalance. It was a prisoner situation. She was in prison with herself and with this man. She didn't know herself. She couldn't advocate for herself. She thought that she was making the right decision out of love, because I do believe that the confusing and horrible thing sometimes about love is that you can love things that are doing you so wrong, but because your perception of love is skewed, it's built in trauma. I give everyone in this situation so much love and grace. And I'm hoping that we can all learn as a collective from this to make better decisions, to take care of ourselves, provide ourselves with our own safety and security. Like, stop putting yourself in unsafe situations as women, thinking that you are gonna have a different experience than the person that was there before you. Learn from other people so that you don't have to be the one to go through it to learn it. And take this from a woman who has learned repeatedly from the same mistake over and over again, because I know I have. I have made so many mistakes in my life, especially in dating, that I wish I didn't make, but it at least taught me that no matter how many times I think I'm gonna, you know, try this out, no matter how many ways I come into it, it's gonna have the same outcome because it's the same type of situation. So you have to switch it up. You have to switch up your pattern in order to see a difference. I had to stop going towards people who were displaying signs of inconsistency, disrespect, violence, or some sort of abuse in order to see myself in a dynamic that was healthy and rooted in respect and love. I hope you guys got something out of today's subject. I know I was kind of all over the place. This is a very passionate and deep conversation for me, but I hope that you guys can feel a little bit more comfortable in your decisions, in just how you align with women, men, the conversations about it, the grace that you give and extend, and even just the grace that you extend to yourself. We are allowed to make these mistakes because at the end of the day, we're the ones that have to live with the consequences that come with them, but learn from them. I love you guys so much, and I will talk to you guys next week. Bye, everyone.
Pioneer.